42% of textile waste in UK landfill is actually from homewares. So that is rugs and curtains and bedding. And we're really a lot better when it comes to thinking about fashion textile waste. But when do we ever really look around our homes and look at towels or things like that? It all comes from, you know, the interior design side of things. And it's just a stat that really blew my mind.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen in to one of our inspiring guests. This is the final episode of, oh, not of the podcast, don't worry, I put a bit too much into that, didn't I? This is the final episode of our B Corp month series. We've done one of these for the last few years, usually, or in past years, we've done it with all B Corps. This time we're just shining a light on different ways of being sustainable in e-commerce. And we're finishing off with a proper circularity story. Our guest runs a business that takes textile waste and sells it to people who will use it, and does a lot more than that, as you will find out, as I did in this episode. So some nice stats coming up, some nice marketing ideas, product ideas, and basically prepare to get inspired about sustainability. I really enjoyed my chat with Jules. I hope you do too. So make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips and my own take on this episode. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Jules Haynes is the founder at The Haynes Collection, an award-winning circular interior design business specializing in fabrics and wallpaper. Founded in 2020, they have now rehomed over 37,000 meters of textiles. Hello, Jules.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you on. I think your business is fascinating and doing something much needed in the world of circularity. So very cool to have you here. How did you end up in e-commerce and in circular e-commerce?
Well, I started my career working for Cancer Research UK. So I did that for 5.5 years. And I just really loved working for a company that was so, everyone was so passionate, really driven by a cause. And I loved that job. And then I later moved into interiors because I've just always loved interior design. And I worked for a small textile design house. And that's really where I learned firsthand how much waste there is. So it could be fabric that comes off from making a pair of curtains or upholstering a sofa, as well as even the manufacture process. It's actually really hard to always get exactly the right color every time you print in batches. So that was, you know, where my original idea actually came from. And it wasn't until there was a local pop-up and I had two small children in tow, ended up seeing a big sign saying, oh, you know, fabric remnants for sale in my local town. And I popped in and chatting to him, he basically said how much of a hassle it was because they made curtains and upholstery, but actually the main bulk that they're left with is enough for somebody else to do something small with. You know, they were sort of B2B, they were a commercial brand that really focused on that side of things, and doing a pop-up once a year was a real hassle. And I thought there should be some beautiful Vestia Collective. You know, it's going on in the fashion industry. Everyone's on it. Everyone's very good at rehoming any fashion pieces that you don't want anymore, or clearance, end of season. But it doesn't happen in the interiors industry. So sort of 5-6 years ago, I thought that's a bit bonkers, and decided to set up Haynes Collection.
It's kind of mad, isn't it? Because you, well, especially when you think of those rolls of fabric that are left over, like in my mind, the idea that someone who needs some curtains might buy one of those rolls of fabric makes so much more sense than someone who needs a dress would buy one of those rolls of fabric. If you see what I mean, it's
and
there is a remnant habit in that part of the economy anyway. So I find it, it is kind of mad how we hear so much about the fashion textile waste piece, but we hear so little about the homewares textile waste piece. And clearly there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't until I did some research when I was thinking about, I get quite excited about ideas. I guess maybe I've always had, always had an entrepreneur in me. But so I thought, you know, I'm really going to do some research. And if this sticks, then I'll give it a go. And so when I did some research into how much textile waste or you know, what the market might be like, it was really hard to find that information. And particularly, you know, 6 years ago, where we didn't talk about sustainability in the way that we do now, it was actually really, really hard to find some concrete information about how much waste. So it was really starting the business with more of a hunch than anything else. And my personal experience and calling around contacts and then just, you know, doing it at a small scale. Weirdly, the whole time when I was building the business, I was thinking, well, if it doesn't work, then I can close it down really quickly. And funny enough, I still have that attitude. Well, if it doesn't work, then, you know, we can do this. I'm still, you know, smaller. We've only been going for 5 years, but I've got that sort of still scrappy feeling like if it really doesn't work, then we can just, you know, fold it or something. But luckily that hasn't been the case.
I'm not sure that feeling ever goes away.
Do you think?
No, I don't think it does. But I think you also go through mindset shifts in business that often, in my experience, lag behind where you are. I was having a chat, going slightly off topic, everybody, but hopefully you'll find this interesting. I was having a chat with my own accountant just a couple of weeks ago and going, look, I've been in the scarcity mindset for so long. How do I get out of, you know, constantly worrying about cash flow? And arguably, I don't need to worry about cash flow anymore. It's like, how do I change this? Because the way you run the business is different depending on how those mindsets go. So we had a long chat about how I could manage to change that mindset to help the business grow more. But so, and you know, and then they were saying, well, Chloe, I think you should probably have shifted this mindset a couple of years ago. And you're like, oh yeah, probably. But I've been so comfortable with this mindset. So it's interesting, that shift. But I think a bit of fear and exitability can be a good thing too.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think when I do the same, I think it just makes you really analyze the numbers hard. And any decision that I make, any spend, I know that it's the right thing because I have stripped it back, built it up, knocked it down again 10,000 times before I actually, you know, are happy to put money into something. So hopefully, yeah, it is something that pushes you a bit harder. I was going to say something about the research that I did when I first was trying to work out whether the business would work. And I found quite an interesting stat, which is from a RAP report. So I don't know if many people know about RAP, but they're an NGO and they do research into anything that can help reduce climate change in the UK. And there's reports about food waste, textile waste, all sorts. And they did a report in 2019 and it said that in UK landfill, 42% of textile waste in UK landfill is actually from homewares. So that is rugs and curtains and bedding. But 42% is huge. You know, that's nearly half. And we're really a lot better when it comes to thinking about, as you said, fashion textile waste. But when do we ever really look around our homes and look at towels or things like that? It all comes from, you know, the interior design side of things. And yeah, it's just a stat that really blew my mind and something that I still bring up, you know, 5 years on, because it really helps you understand the issue. And every person I mention it to is surprised that it's that much.
So given there's plenty out there that you could sell, when you're running a business that's got the mission of, you know, reducing this waste, is it difficult to work out whose remnants, whose leftovers you're going to take? Because, you know, you said you were walking down the street and there's someone who's doing commercial design and they've got some leftover fabric that they're doing a fire sale on. You know, you could just go to all of those guys or just go, yeah, if you've got fabric to shift, send it to us. And I'm sure at the beginning there was a lot of decision making of who are we going to start listing on the website or not listing on the website. But also as you get more well known and people are coming to you, who do you turn away or not turn away? So because the Hanes collection is luxury positioning, I would say.
Yeah. And we do say it's curated as well, you know, handpicked.
So how did you construct that? And maybe you ripped it apart and built it back up again, ripped it apart and built it back up again. But how did you construct that product buying decision when the mission is to stop things from going into waste? So how do you reconcile the, not reconcile the two, but how do you make them match up?
Yeah. I mean, firstly, it's really hard. And I think anyone who runs a marketplace will know that that in itself is hard, which obviously I had no experience of before. Running a marketplace, particularly ours, is you don't know what's going to come in. You could have like 12,000 meters of brown velvet that you think, oh, I'm not sure I can sell this. So there's definitely lots of hurdles. When it came to starting the business, you know, as everyone does, I started small and I knew that there was a huge issue, but I also knew that I wanted to be in the luxury end because that was the area that had the most problems with their waste because of branding. So we've always pitched ourselves to be an elevated brand so that luxury brands had somewhere to turn. So in the fashion industry, we know that Burberry, I think it was Burberry, was it Prada, who were burning their handbags and they were caught out sort of 6-7 years ago because they had a load of seconds and they didn't want there to be a huge influx in the market because it would damage their brand. So I felt that a lot of the luxury interiors brands had the same issue. And particularly even now, sometimes when I speak to people, they're like, oh, we don't really have any waste. And I think also interestingly, even the word waste, people view it differently. And I say, you know, it's things like it's X display. It might be a return. So some of the brands that we work with are, their headquarters are based outside of the UK. So they ship product in. So if a customer returns it, it's actually more expensive for them to return it back into the headquarters. So we're one American brand, we're their sort of official returns department that will then resell it for them because it's better for them as a brand. But when it came to working out my slice of the market, yeah, it's my personal taste as well. So I knew that I could choose something on a hunch. And as we've grown, I've also realized that there's something for everyone. So as long as it is high quality, usable and beautiful sort of luxury, it will sit on our website. And you're right, we do have to be quite careful when we speak to people, because particularly the designers themselves, we don't want to offend them and say like, oh, we don't think your stuff. But we're also very sort of honest and transparent and we'll say, we know our market really well. We've got a really strong community and we know what they respond to. And we just don't want to waste your time by taking you down that path when it's probably not going to sell through us. We do have alternatives as well, which we will suggest other brands or perhaps even other ways that they can rehome it. So it could be Facebook Marketplace, or it could be a donation to a student group that we work with, etc. We always try and be that one-stop solution that's easier than that brand or even makers, because we work directly with upholsterers and curtain makers, that's easier than putting it in the bin. Lots of the brands we work with, they might not even want to recoup the funds from the sale, but there's interior design brands, some big ones that we've worked with that have asked to use any of the proceeds for a chosen charity. So we have some of our own charities, but what's been really nice is we offer that to people, so they say that then they, you know, will be able to give a certain amount to that charity. But interior designers and manufacturers and makers, if their client has bought the fabric in the first place, we will always ensure that they've checked that their client doesn't want the fabric back. Because that's another thing, you know, when you work with interior designers, that often they've sort of bought it on behalf of a client, so the client sort of technically owns it.
You mentioned just before we started recording, so I figure I'm going to ask you about this, is that there is, whilst when you started this was, wouldn't it be nice to get rid of the waste and to do something productive with the waste? The legislation's now coming down the line, isn't it? With we've seen other sectors affected by it. Europe's now pushing it into textiles, and it's coming to the UK and other parts of the world too. So there's about to be much more need for services like yours.
Yes, and obviously I'm thrilled, because at the moment anyone who works with us is doing it because we feed into their sustainability policy, but there are still brands that don't have a sustainability policy or don't see it as a priority. So I do think it's exciting that government legislation will be coming in. So there's something called the textile EPR, which is the extended producer responsibility. We already have a packaging EPR that's just arrived in the UK. And as you said, it normally starts off in Europe and then it kind of filters through and comes to us. So the textile EPR is coming. There isn't a date when it's coming in, but the reason it's coming in is so that any producer and manufacturer of textiles will be responsible for the whole life of that textiles and need to report on how it's going to be dealt with at end of life, which is where we fit in. So part of what the Haynes Collection does is where we're technically upcycling. So the difference between upcycling and recycling. Upcycling is when you keep the product in the same form and you're just sort of rehoming it, using it, I guess, in its current form. And we're also, this is a top inside scoop, Chloe, we're also working on a new service where we will be recycling. So we'll actually be able to take textiles and have it shredded and have it, the manufacturer that we're going to partner with, remake it into products that's used in the construction industry. So the whole thing is sort of circular for our industry. That is still something that we are early stages and we're testing. Potentially we might also go into product as well with this textile waste that you could make, you know, a lovely tray for your ottoman, or, you know, a shelf and a table, etc. But we do want to be this full service, so that any brand who has surplus textiles, and if when we go down the recycling route, that can also include fabric books, samples as well. There's a huge problem with fabric samples. So any interior designer who's scheming, or, you know, obviously retail customer as well, you'll always want a sample of that fabric to touch it, feel it, see if it's going to work in the space. Once you've done that and you've completed that project, which could, you know, be a couple of months or it could be a couple of years, but ultimately that sample's probably, you don't need it anymore. And so there is, I mean, the amount of money that actually brands themselves have to put into sampling in the first place, all of that ultimately has quite a short lifespan. And so it's the same with fabric books. We were discussing it this morning. How many years do we think the average fabric book lasts? We have sort of between 5 and 10 years. They get dogged, you know, the batch is different, or the fabric just doesn't exist and it sort of goes into clearance, etc. So how can Haynes be the people that clear up all of the waste, the beautiful stuff that we can be resold as is, but also the stuff that, you know, it might even be ripped because it got stuck in the rolling machine when it was being printed. All of this stuff, even the small bits that get chopped off making a lampshade, like how can we collect it all up and be that circular solution? So that's our focus.
And then obviously there's people buying the product. We've neglected to talk about them so far, but obviously you're in that luxury, that more designer sub part of the market, and you've done great with kind of PR and those kind of things. Have the customers turned out to be who you thought they would be?
Yes, because I probably very sort of self-centered modeled the customer on me. So there are a lot of people like me who like design, interior design, and let's not neglect the fact that our fabric is discounted. So that's, you know, a lot of people who are doing renovations, when it comes to the soft furnishing at the end, there's not much left in the penny pot. So a lot of people will come to us because we're discounted luxury products. But what has surprised me is the wide range of people that we appeal to, particularly when it comes to age, because in my head, I was like, well, it's for people who have bought their first home and da da da, and they're probably, you know, being a bit more price sensitive. But it's actually people, A, who are into sustainability and like the fact that they're lowering their manufacturing impact themselves by buying through us. There's people who are just quite thrifty or like to, you know, get a bargain like most people. And also there's, you know, the whole rental market that some people may never be able to get on the property market. And actually they're really investing in a cushion that costs £65 because they can take it around them to whichever sofa they're living in. So we've been really lucky, you know, we've had articles that have been in the Financial Times and Forbes, as well as the lovely House and Garden, Homes and Garden, and including sort of Reclaim magazine. So it has been, thankfully, a sort of mass appeal.
And I'm hoping we've inspired some of those listening to start creating or selling some circular products, finding some waste streams and finding ways to improve them. For anyone who's where you were back in 2019, 2020, seeing this opportunity, any advice for them on making a good success of circular e-commerce?
I think, and I still say this to myself, just put one foot in front of the other. Just whatever it is, just do it and just do the next step. You don't have to plan out all the steps. Just plan out the next step. Obviously, it's perfect, brilliant to have an end goal. And even if that end goal is to have a yacht and a, you know, a house in Miami, whatever it might be, however out there, whatever drives you. But ultimately, just do it and set yourself a deadline as well. I think that is really key. As I said to you at the beginning, I said to myself, if I'm still thinking about this idea in a week, then I'm just going to do it. If you do that, you hold yourself accountable. And then once you get to that deadline, you push yourself into the next stage and the next step. And particularly when it comes to circularity, I think even if you don't end up buying your yacht, what I really love is that I'm making a small difference. You know, obviously I've got plans to take over the world and make a massive difference and get my OBE, whatever. But I you know that if you're doing something that makes you happy, and if you want to make a difference, you know, then you will be making a difference, even just by doing something, you know, small that doesn't end up taking over the world.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organise the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Jules, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes, yes.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would firstly just say that I am not a massive reader. So when I read a book, it has to be good. So hopefully you will take my top tips as like the top of the top tips. I would recommend How to Own the Room by Viv Goscrop. A lot of what this book about, it's about public speaking, but it's also about you. It's finding your inner strength, your presence, your inner confidence. And there's some great tips. At the end of each chapter, there's tips. There's videos to watch of people who have done amazing, compelling speeches, but it also breaks down, like, why is it compelling? And so it helps anyone maybe who is planning on doing a talk or a speech, but I think it's also anytime you're presenting yourself, which is all the time, even on this podcast, you have to put your words in the right order so people know what your story is and what you're trying to get across. And I would really recommend that book to support your growth there.
Nice. I like that. And a top book, top tip, yes, from a non-book reader normally. Yes. The traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I would have to say Instagram, particularly for my industry. I feel like it has had its peak of being particularly amazing. But for me, I feel eternally grateful that app exists, because that's predominantly how I grew my brand and how people discovered us and still discover us now. And I feel very, very thankful that it exists.
And is that organic or advertising on Instagram?
Yeah, I've actually only ever done organic. We don't spend any money on marketing because, as I said, I'm too tight. I mean, one day when I'm really, really sure it's going to convert. But organic.
Another follow-up question. Self-organic or influencer organic?
Definitely self-organic. We've tried a couple of times influencer and it doesn't really work for us. What does work for us is organic influencer, when influencers have found us through that Tinyurl app and shopped and then been kind enough to tag us, share us, etc. So again, grateful that people have found us through Instagram.
Nice. And the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
The first one that jumped to mind is a video editing tool that we use called Splice. I think that's really useful, particularly as I'm actually trying to shift our mindset into the other social media platforms that I've probably been neglecting, like TikTok, and which, by the way, I do really like and is not just for young girls who like to do the floss. It's not quite there, I don't think, for our industry, but yeah, I think it's really interesting how it's growing. And also YouTube, I haven't got the hang of that, but a really great tool is Splice to edit and chop up your videos.
Nice. And then the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Well, I would just say to allow people to come and pick up from you, because then that saves all the transport costs, etc. And it might sound like quite a small part of what you do, but it does make a difference. And I think by thinking of the small things, you know, there's other things that we do, like ecology and things like that, you know, third party people who can lower your carbon. But actually, I think if we all do these small things, like allowing someone to pick up, so we have a special code for anyone who's local, so they don't have to pay for shipping, which obviously helps them as well. But particularly for e-commerce, when there's a lot that goes into transportation.
I like that one. I don't think we've ever had that one on before, so I like that one. Jules, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
They can find us, as I said, on Instagram, Haynes_collection, and our website is Haynes Collection, so Haynes collection.co.uk. And we've got a website that's got over 3,000 products, so make a cup of tea and take some time to have a good old browse around. But we're always available on DMs, on Instagram, and our contact details are there as well if you ever need any help.
Yeah, grab a coffee, scroll through, find your next set of curtains. That's what we're saying.
Yes, there you go.
Jules, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great finding out more about your business and how you're building this kind of one-stop shop circularity piece for the industry. It's been very cool. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks, Chloe.
It's amazing to think that 6 years ago, no one was really doing anything with that waste product. And now Jules has turned it into a business that's evolving into becoming in some ways, a service provider for the luxury interior designers and luxury interior fabric and wallpaper creators to help them solve a problem which they've got and which legislation-wise they're about to have to care an awful lot more about. So it's really fascinating whenever I talk to anyone who's running such a circular business, how much opportunity there is out there in stuff that was just lying around or being chucked away that can be turned into great things for other people's businesses and creating things for other people. And in the case of Jules, enabling people to buy better quality than they otherwise would have been able to buy, which of course then means the curtains last longer, the upholstery lasts longer and all the rest of it. So hopefully that's inspired you to see where there's some circularity potential in your own business. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and the links to what we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the episode of this number, or the number of this episode even. Go back to what Jules was saying about putting the words in the right order. Just put that into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page of the website. When you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss any out on any of the cool things I share to help you improve your business. This has been the last of our series on, or our little mini series for B Corp month. This year, we haven't exclusively interviewed B Corps, but we have interviewed several fascinating sustainability businesses. So if you want to dive into all of those, that's this one and the previous four episodes. Have a listen or head to ecmp.info/B Corp. The other episode I'd like to recommend is the end of last year, we had Jules in her other guise on with Miri Christie, who's another sustainability specialist, talking about how they are helping brands in the home and garden space to become more sustainable. That's episode 523, if you want to hear about that. And if you want general stuff about homes and interiors, then go to ecmp.info/home for all of our home and garden content. That's enough links and recommendations. That'll keep you busy for the rest of the week. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.